Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
To Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Well, we just had Mike Kliss on, and you had heard his visit with the drive yesterday, so you wanted him to expand a little bit more on it this morning. Just kind of what's going on, the hierarchy in the Broncos front office, for everyone wondering, why wasn't a change made? Why wasn't Vic Fangio fired? Why weren't coaches fired? And after hearing Mike Kliss explain it all, tell me you don't come away from hearing all this wondering, huh? What exactly is going on? Who's exactly in charge over there?
For now, yes, it's Joe Ellis and John Elway would be the primary two that would make the decision on Vic Fangio. George Payton would have input, but according to the organizational structure, he's on even footing, you know, the same land as Vic Fangio.
I thought we were under the impression that John had stepped aside, that John was strictly sounding board, advisory, but moving out of the way, that this was George Payton's job, challenge, mandate to come in here and reshape this thing. And I brought this up. I brought this up Friday morning. Like, man, John was at the game. John was all there in full suit. He's up there in the box in Cleveland. He's got the binoculars, looking very much like a guy involved.
Correct.
And I made the observation Friday, that seems to sort of fly in the face of what his role has been laid out to be.
Mm-hmm.
But now listening to Mike, it sounds like he is still very much involved. And that Vic Fangio was involved in the hiring of George Payton, and that George Payton and Vic Fangio are kind of on level in the hierarchy, on the masthead, they're kind of equal. Mark. That sounds like a mess to me. Who the heck's in charge?
Yeah, ultimately, I think it falls on Joe Ellis. And, I mean, when you look at the organizational structure, if that's exactly how it's gone down, and I don't have any reason to believe that it isn't that way, the way Mike reports it, I mean, there feels a bit of self-preservation within this organization, almost like, hey, listen, our contracts are probably not going to be renewed. There will probably be new ownership. Let's just move on. Let's just status quo it. George, try to do what you can to fix it. And we're going to motor along. And that part to me is interesting. Yeah, I mean, if you're Elway and you hired Vic Fangio, don't you have a vested interest for another coach that you hired not to fail? If you're Joe Ellis and John's part of the process, I mean, you don't want to circumvent that authority and say, hey, we've got to get rid of the coach that you put in place, that you did the interview process with, that you were mostly in charge of hiring. Oh, by the way, when we hired George Payton, Vic Fangio was there at the steak dinner eating a burger, And for Vic Fangio, hey man, I told you what I liked in an offense. It was that West Coast, Kyle Shanahan type offense. So we hired Wrinkles. Then I didn't like Wrinkles, so I fired Wrinkles, and this is my guy, Pat Shurmur, to come in here. But I'm not going to let him go because then it makes me look bad. I mean, it just feels like it's all of this is part and parcel of knowing that ownership is muddled, knowing that it's uncertain, and knowing that there'll probably be somebody new in charge here. All these moves feel like Joe Ellis doesn't want to
saddle new ownership with a brand new coaching staff that they have to be paying for the old one. So what's the best way to make sure that George Payton understands that this is the coaching staff that you are going to be inheriting and going with, is having that coach involved in the actual hiring process. Comes pretty clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the staff you're inheriting. And then there's also, from Joe's standpoint, hey, I'm on my way out. I'm not going to be here that much longer. Do I want to be known as the guy that fired John Elway? So, you know, we'll let John still be involved. And all it does is just create, man, talk about too many cooks in the kitchen. In a situation that is screaming for one clear voice, one clear person in charge. And after talking to Mike Kliss, I have no idea who's in charge. Or who carries the most influence. Right.
I don't know. I just feel like I feel like something needs to be done, and I just feel like you put yourself into a situation where nothing's going to get done. It's just like
it's just status quo.
It is
just hang in there until somebody
new comes along, and then it's
right.
It's their problem. It's up to them to figure out what they want to do.
Right.
Which to me is so anti, you know, if you're going by what would Mr. Boland do, WWMBD, who I think I added an extra letter in there. What would Mr. Boland
do? No, you got it right.
Yeah.
WWMBD.
WWMBD.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always go with your first.
Right.
You know, when you were doing the test?
Yeah.
Always go with your first choice.
Or none of the above.
Boom.
See, right now, we've got the none of the above category being circled.
Correct. Remember when we
called this 2021, the none of the above campaign.
What was the test that we always had to take? The Iowa test. It was always the Iowa test.
Oh, yeah, basic skills.
Right. Remember it was the Iowa test?
Why is it?
I don't know. I get it originated in Iowa, but
apparently
we always used to take that standardized Iowa test. And
right,
you're right. My go-to when I wasn't sure was either C.
Mm-hmm.
The C is always the most picked correct answer.
Really?
C. They.
That's what I was. They've done studies.
Yeah, C was the most selected right answer, or the correct answer on the grade sheet.
Remember how they always told you?
Or all of the above.
Right. Remember, hey, get a good night rest.
Yeah.
Eat breakfast. We're doing the Iowa test, the basic skills, the standardized testing.
Anywho.
I brought us down.
Anywho. Yeah, you brought down the curve.
I brought down. Our school was like, oh, we didn't do really well. There's that one real moron in third grade. Mr. Beardsley's class, he brought us down again.
Oh, man. Alaska suffering the pain of Marshler.
That's right.
Okay. Well, all right. I guess it's just hang in there and just status quo until...
Hang in there and hope.
Until new owners.
Yeah.
And then go from there. Okay. Mark's been breaking down the film. More like a horror film, watching the Broncos' last two games. What's jumping out to him? He'll tell you. Next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, so still kind of digesting our talk with Mike Kliss, who laid out the organizational hierarchy of the Broncos and how
it's Joe Ellis and it's still John Elway, and that Vic Fangio and George Payton are kind of on equal footing. So when we talked yesterday that Vic sounded much different on Friday, mere 12 hours or so, than he did after the game on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
When on Thursday night it was the players, there's nothing really wrong with the coaching, the schemes.
Right.
To Friday, where it was, we got to coach better, it's on us as coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Stark contrast. And our thought was, somebody delivered a message.
Right.
You got to hold yourself more accountable. Right? Who delivered the message?
Well, I think that would be Joe Ellis. And I'm sure John Elway not, I mean, John Elway can't be happy with the product that he's watched, especially the last 2 weeks. John Elway was in charge. I mean, John Elway understands the rivalry between the Raiders and the Broncos. And I said this before, I'll say it again. You know, one team played like it was a rivalry. That's the Raiders. The other team played like they had dinner reservations. That was pathetic. Being pathetic. Embarrassing. And then you go to Cleveland and you know, their JV team just puts a who's your daddy whooping on you. And that was a whooping, Mike. That was a good old-fashioned behind-the-woodshed whooping. And what is it about Vic Fangio's football teams that they defensively, here's a defensive kind of coach, a guru, if you will. What is it about his football team that they don't respond to adversity? Go back through the last 3 years. So they go down, they put a drive together, finally in the third quarter, offensively, score a touchdown to make it 10-7, right? So they put it on them, roll down the field, make it 10-7, third quarter, and you're right back in it, right? You're down a score. Then what does Cleveland do? They march down on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 play drive that eats up 7 minutes and 12 seconds. No, 13 plays, 75 yards, 721. Oh, 721. Sorry. Yes, 721 is even worse than 712.
Yes, they actually possessed the ball 9 more seconds.
Well, it was 14 play because they started with a false start. That was their first play. So they started off at 1st and 15, Mike. You don't count the false start. But to me, that's still a play. So it's 14 plays, and you started the drive at the, at the 20-yard line, your own 20-yard line, at 1st and 15. That makes it even worse. So 13 plays, 7-minute, 21-second drive for a touchdown. Now you're down 17-7.
I'm going to throw a quick baseball analogy at you.
Okay.
What do you always hear? What's the thought process? Whenever your team goes out and scores a couple of runs, the job of the starting pitcher or the job of the pitcher is to come back out there and put up a zero.
Right.
Don't give back any momentum. Right. You just did all that
squelch
work.
Squelch the uprising.
You got to go out and put up a zero.
Right.
They didn't put up a zero.
Right.
Their offense went down and did their job. Defense, you got to come out and put up a zero. Instead, they turn right around and give up a drive. And then, Mark.
He was high.
And then.
Yeah.
When they score to make it 17-14, there's still 5.5 minutes left in the game.
Right.
Yes. Plenty of time. Make a stop.
Mm-hmm.
Get the ball back. Go win this football game. Instead, you give up a 10-play, 61-yard, 5-minute and 17-second drive to close out the game.
Right. Where everybody in the building knows they're just going to run the football.
Exactly.
To eat up clock. And what do? You get crammed down your throat with a third string, D'Ernest, whatever his name was, D'Ernest Johnson. Put him on the map. I mean, the altruistic defense of the Denver Broncos. This kid may never play again, but we're going to make him a star for one night.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you your 15 minutes of fame, D'Ernest.
But this has been happening for 2.5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
failure to be able to close out games. Chicago, here. Jacksonville, here. Indy, there. Indy, there. I mean, it's, you know, Minnesota.
Yeah. Yep.
Shoot, you had a huge lead on Minnesota.
With the gamer. Right? Is that with the gamer? Is that with the gamer?
Yeah,
the gamer,
I think the gamer, was the gamer quarterback?
Was the gamer quarterback in that game?
Oh, was it Locke?
Oh. Drew Locke was the quarterback in a game in which they built a big halftime lead? That Vic Fangio gave up?
Is that what happened?
I'm not sure.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
What year was that? Would that have been last year?
No, 2019. It's 2019. That'd be at the end of the season because we had the halcyon days of Joe Flacco, who's now going to be the starting quarterback.
No, that was not Drew Locke. That my always go with your first guess. It was the gamer.
It was the gamer.
It was the gamer.
Brandon Allen.
Brandon Allen. Broncos were up 20-0. 20-0.
So it wasn't Drew Locke.
20-0. Here you go.
Where's Brandon Allen right now? Is he in the league?
Is he with the Bengals? He's backing up somebody. No, we don't need that. No. That's not important. What's important is why can't they answer and put up a zero?
I want all the meatballs and the pasta, you know?
Is that a good question? How would you phrase that question? So you're sitting one-on-one with Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
You play...
What would you say you do here?
Yeah. It's a good call, Vinny. So, all right, let's say I'm playing the role of Vic. You're playing the role of Stink.
Oh.
How would you ask that
question? How would I ask that question? Vic, good to be here with you. You know I played for the Broncos, right? Mm-hmm. You know I won a couple of Super Bowls here. Boy, I'll tell you what, I made my mark here. Let me tell you about some of the things I did. Oh, okay, hold on. Enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Yeah.
No, the question would be, Vic, it's been something that's happened a lot here over the last couple of years. Defense's inability to close out games or to come up with those key stops when your offense has created some momentum. Can you explain your defense's inability to shut people down when it matters most? Why haven't your defenses been able to do that? It's got to be driving you crazy. That's how I'd finish that.
I think we're done here.
You think that's what happens?
No, I think you'd answer it.
You'd answer it? What do you think the answer would be?
You know what? I have no idea. I don't.
You think, obviously, if he knew the answer, he'd fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to drive him crazy.
It does.
As a guy who's a defensive guy, this is his baby.
Yeah.
His defense's inability to answer the bell in those moments has got to drive him bonkers.
I like the ending. Got to drive you crazy.
Got to drive you crazy. Real empathetic.
Yeah.
Brandon Allen backing up Joe Burrow, by the way.
All right.
All right. Four down territory coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I want Mason Glory help.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. First down.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, George and his staff is, you know, looking at that.
George and his staff made a move yesterday as they traded around some late-round picks. By the way, this a George Payton move or was it a John Elway move? Now I'm wondering.
Was Joel's involved?
Was Joel's involved? I'm all... I don't know what's real anymore. Is it all a charade?
This is really my fault.
So the Denver Bronco football team made a move yesterday as they acquired linebacker Kenny Young from the Rams. What do you know about this guy? Stats say he's the third leading tackler right now for the Rams.
No, he's a good player, man. I mean, he's not... Like, I think that there are some times where when you watch linebackers, they'll trigger or they'll be late triggering or what, like, and what I mean by trigger is like you see it, bam, you go. So sometimes in some of the cutback stuff, I think he over pursues. Sometimes, you know, but the bottom line is he's better than what we have. And I think he's a pretty good player. And obviously they're struggling. They struggled in that Cleveland game Thursday night at the linebacker position. There was no question. It was not very pretty. By the way, 6 degrees of, now with Kenny Young moving on from the Rams, one of their remaining inside linebackers for the Rams is Ernest Jones. Maybe he should put a D in front of that.
The Ernest Jones.
Right?
Like the Ernest Johnson.
Right? Huh? You see where I'm going here?
Yeah, I do see
where
you're
going.
You
feel me? Why just be Ernest Jones?
When you can be D Ernest. But D Ernest means it sounds like you're not honest.
Ernest sounds like you're honest.
Ernest sounds like, hey, that's an earnest guy.
Right.
D Ernest would be like,
not so sure about his character. Can I really trust how earnest he is?
Yeah.
Good point.
If he's D Ernest, good point.
I'm just asking the question.
I get you.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Jameis did a good job, especially in that 2-minute drill. That was significant when you can score like that and then start the half with the football. But I was asked at the end of the half, you know, why Alvin so much. And a lot of that was based on the depth of the underneath coverage. So Jameis was smart enough to, you know, keep dumping it to him. Typically, a good 2-minute drill, there's always an underneath throw or two to the runners. And this was no different.
There is an FOS friend of Stink, Sean Payton, talking about his Saints beating the Seahawks 13-10. To me, the story here is Seattle. They're 2-5. They're 0-3 at home. Russell Wilson's out for the foreseeable future.
Mr. Unlimited.
What does this do to Seattle's view of where they're going with Russell Wilson? Is this the wake-up call that they needed to realize, wow, we've been taking Russell for granted. Look at where we're at without him. Maybe we should give him more input and more say. Or is this a wake-up call that, wow, it goes way beyond just Russell Wilson. Maybe we should use Russell Wilson as a bargaining chip to start the rebuild.
No, I think it's the first, not the latter. We need to give Russell Wilson some input. I think that's why they went out and got, what's the kid's name that's playing, that's the coordinator, Shane Waldron. Why they went out and got Waldron from the Rams, young offensive coordinator, to tie those two together a little bit. I think they've come to that realization. So I would say the former, not the latter of those two is the truth.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Would you like to renegotiate?
Renegotiate, no, but maybe play a round of golf with Tom as a repayment.
Okay.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
That's it. So you want a round of golf, nothing else? Like, you don't want to call plays next week against the Saints? You don't want a spot on the charter?
Well, if I was calling the plays, we'd probably lose against the Saints. So I'll leave that up to the team.
Byron Kennedy was the guy who received the 600th touchdown pass of Tom Brady's career, that ball that Mike Evans mistakenly gave to the fan after Evans scored the touchdown.
Right.
So the fan, this guy Kennedy, was able to parlay this into, let's see, 2 signed Brady jerseys, a helmet, another jersey autographed by Evans, Evans' game-worn cleats. Teams also provide a pair of season tickets for the remainder of 2021, all of 2022, plus a $1,000 credit to the official team store. Now, you said yesterday that the early returns at that ball was worth what?
I read 500 grand.
Okay. You've just had this ball given to you. What would you do? I think everybody, I'm asking everybody listening right now, what would you do in that situation? Because the guy gave the ball up right away. Would you do it? Would you say, This is a lottery ticket you just gave me.
Yeah. I think a lot of fans would just give it back, not realizing that it's a lottery ticket.
How many fans would really know the value of that right off the bat?
Maybe not. Let's say you were able to put that together right away.
Right. I think if you
then what do you do?
I think if you put it together right away, you say, finders keepers, losers weepers. Right? Isn't that the way you go?
Yeah, right.
Hey, it was given to me. No take backs.
2468, let's negotiate.
I mean, it's pretty cool what he got.
Yeah.
If he's a, you know, if he's a Bucks fan, it's pretty cool what he got. And, you know, the Brady jersey's going to be worth something.
But maybe you just say, you know what? I'm going to walk out of here with my ball.
Yeah.
And I'll be in touch.
I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
Although, how far would you get with that ball, by the way, if you tried to walk out of there?
Yeah, good call. You might get rolled.
Next on Four Down Territory.
Fourth down.
Flacco's tall.
Joe Flacco. Man, the guy has like nine lives.
He does.
It's like a cat. Joe Flacco, languishing on the bench in Philadelphia, has been...
Why won't you die?
Has been traded to the Jets, back to the Jets, because Zach Wilson's going to be out with a while with a knee injury. So they have a need, a quarterback, and Joe Flacco, back to the Jets. Oh, Jets fans are going to love that. You know what? Always remember that no matter how bad you think you have it, somebody has it worse. No matter how down you are, Bronco country, realize... Here's the Jets. The Jets. I mean, you talk about all the hope, right? All the stuff that we're looking forward to maybe here in the future with new ownership, new coaching staff, fresh start, clean slate, new young, exciting quarterback. They got all those things in New York, and now they're giving up 54 points to the Patriots. Wilson is hurt, and you're turning your lonely eyes to Joe Flacco. Can always get worse. Somebody always has it worse.
I need to do a new Jets video. I mean, what would I do if I'm creating a new Jets video? Just like look directly in the camera.
I think you got to be like just overly. You've got to show how pitiful they are.
Just, can you imagine just
and you have
in?
To just be so, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I ever said those things about you because, man, you guys got it rough right now. I'm
or
sorry.
Or just look at the camera the whole time and say, just like really quietly say, Joe Flacco. And just try to maintain, like trying to maintain a sense of decorum, but, you know, giggling all the way through.
Then again, you are the guy a few years ago said Joe Flacco was like 23rd on the list of what's wrong with the Broncos right now.
He was at that time.
Uh-huh.
At that time, he was. That's how bad we were.
I'm going to go home and put on my Wacko for Flacco t-shirt. All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, a tour on the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. What does Mark see when he looks at the Broncos on film the last couple of weeks? Also, Sean Drotar from the Fan Nuggets post-game show responding to what Michael Malone had to say, some harsh words after that loss. That's all coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3, The Fan. All right, in anticipation and in preparation for you calling the Broncos woofed game on Sunday for Fox, nobody dives into the film like you do, and I'm always curious to get your observations of what you're seeing when you jump into the film the way you do. So you had a chance to look at the Broncos, Raiders, Broncos, Browns games, and give me some specific players. I'm curious to hear observations of specific players, good and bad. What jumped out?
Well, over the last couple of games, nothing really jumped out on the good.
All right, well then let's roll call. Let's bring these players who need to be called out front and center.
Well, I think, you know, one of the big things that I've noticed here in recent weeks is the number of big plays given up. Number of explosive plays, not only for Cleveland it was in the run game, 10 plus yard explosive runs. I mean, I didn't count them, but there were a plethora. I mean, it's normally, you know, if you get four or five explosive. That's a big explosive run day. They must have had in that game, just off the top of my head, they must have had close to 10 explosive runs. All right, let's start right there then. You've been on your fair share of offenses that controlled and dominated in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched it as fans and we're like, wow, really bad tackling.
Right.
What was the root cause of, was it in poor position? Was it guys making business decisions and just turning down?
Well,
hard contact? What was it?
I think a lot of it was space. So when you're not using your hands well, you know, Vic talked about fundamentals. When you're not using your hands well and you're not shedding blocks and you're getting blocked, the point of attack, the line of scrimmage point of attack, you're getting movement. So now you're moving defensive linemen into linebackers. You're creating big space and you're running through that space and it becomes, instead of a square up, shoulder to shoulder, you know, fit up tackle, it's arm tackles. And D'Ernest Johnson was running through them. You know, their backfields were running through them. So you're getting such momentum to the second level. You're never there was never a situation where you're stumbling or you're shuffling your feet or you're jabbing your feet. You're hitting that second level at you've already exploded into top speed. And so that to me was really the biggest reason there were a bunch of missed tackles, is because the angles were off. You had somebody sitting in your lap. You're trying to create an arm tackle on a dude that's, you know, trying to establish himself. It was just bad up front. And Vic has been historically able to control the run game without adding an extra defender. The Broncos are a big time, two high safety quarters team. That means you got to control it and you're inserting a safety in late once he reads, but he's coming from 12 yards deep. The last 2 weeks, they have not been able to even get off a block, not been able to defend the run doing that. And therefore, you're going to have missed tackles and explosive runs. And, you know, I could go through it, but I don't know how many explosive, but I have to say they got close to 10 explosive runs.
Yeah,
I'll look at
fair.
That.
That's fair.
You know, I'll look at that while we're rolling along here. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. What else?
I would say that not only not making those tackles and getting pushed around, but giving up big plays on the back end, because now all of a sudden you get into insert situations where you have to bring a safety down, where you have to bring extra defenders, and you're getting a lot of one-on-one matchups on the outside, and guys have gotten torched. You know, Darby's been torched. I think Fuller, you know, I mean, Fuller, that. Those are the things that have happened to you.
Offensively.
Yeah.
What are you seeing?
I think a lack of knowing who you are, lack of continuity. You're not running the ball. You just don't have guys. Even Cortland Sutton makes a big catch down the sideline. I mean, that thing is, he makes it one-handed. It's completely covered. There's no separation there. Although I will say, I thought Cortland Sutton in and out of breaks is moving better than I've seen him move. It looks like he's coming back. But there was very limited separation. There doesn't feel like there's anybody that you look at go, oh, how are we going to cover this guy?
Nobody's winning.
Nobody's winning off the bat. You're winning in situations that are empty situations. Like, hey, Noah Fant's going to put up a lot of catches in a lot of yards. It's going to be third down and nine. He's going to catch one for 7 yards, get tackled on the spot. I don't remember him breaking a tackle in two games. And how about break one tackle, dude? He's running to contact and falling down. That's what it feels like. You know, that's one of the notes I put in here. What are you going to break one tackle? Anyone? The guy's got more penalties now than he had all of last year. And there's often times where he's an unwilling participant when it comes to blocking.
Other than that, though, I mean, you know, you're getting a lot of production, a lot of empty production. That's an empty production player right there. As so right now on the season, if I was evaluating, and this is harsh. This is a harsh criticism, but you're an empty production player.
No offense.
Empty production player. Hey, third down and seven, third down and eight, we'll give you a 3-yard crossing route. We'll tackle you. There you go. Punt.
More observations from Mark, along with question mark coming up here in about 5 minutes. Last night, the Nuggets at home lost to Cleveland. Cleveland, of all people. And during our Fan Nugget post-game show that you can hear after every Nuggets game, our buddy Sean Drotar was on with Sandy Clough. Sean joins us now. Sean, good morning.
Good morning.
I want you to listen to what Michael Malone had to say after the game and then give us your response.
Tonight we couldn't make a shot. And what I really did not like about our team tonight is we were soft offensively. We're coming down and shooting pull-up threes. I mean, like, I know they had great size out there and length with Markkanen and Mobley and Allen. But we just, you know, we never thought attack. We thought settle all night long. I think at one point we were 3 for 19. We were 9 for 38 for the game. We only got to the foul line 12 times. We didn't put any pressure on them. Give them credit. They came in here and beat our ass. But, yeah, I'm concerned about the offense, the turnovers, the shot selection, how lethargic we look at times. I mean, that starting group, man, like they that's a really slow-moving group.
All right, Sean?
Hard to argue with any of that. I mean, obviously they had a very bad performance. You were talking about Noah Fant becoming a guy that's basically just getting garbage stats, right? A non-productive player. At least the Broncos only own Noah Fant about $7 million. The Nuggets own Michael Porter Jr. $207 million. So they certainly need much better performance. Everything that Malone just talked about, he could have spoken specifically about Porter Jr. last night. Last night, Porter Jr. goes 4 for 14. 9 of those attempts were from 3. Made only 3 of those. 5 boards, 3 assists for a guy that's out there for 27 minutes and you're 6'10". You have to do better than that. Porter Jr. specifically does not look interested in getting anywhere near the basket. He's okay with just standing out at the 3-point line and bombing away out there. The whole team was 38 of their 86 shots, only hitting 9 of those. That's atrocious. And against a team in Cleveland that they're just physically better at, that they could have just taken this team to the rack over and over again, drawn fouls, and beaten them rather handily. Instead, the last time they had a lead, guys, was when it was 7-6. So they were beaten soundly. The effort was not there, except for anybody except Nikola Jokic, who even had a game where he was visibly frustrated, and understandably so. They're not getting much from their bench. This is one of the major things that I don't think people talked about enough in the offseason. When Michael Porter Jr. plays poorly, what can Michael Malone do? Who can he put in instead? The only option conceivably even at that position is P.J. Dozier. He'll be exposed in a short amount of time. This bench unit is sort of mismatched. There is not another big on this roster that they use. There certainly isn't any rim protection. So it's not all gloom and doom. The Nuggets are 2-1. They have Nikola Jokic, whose play has just been sublime as usual. But this team looks like the kind of squad at the moment that kind of just expects to be better than another team, that they roll the ball out and they're going to get a win. And they learned a hard lesson last night that even at home against a Cleveland team that may only win 20 and change, that they'll still lose those kind of games unless the effort is better.
Were those statements by Michael Malone pointing directly to Michael Porter Jr.?
Not last night, I don't think, Stink, because you had Aaron Gordon 1 for 5 from 3, Will Barton 1 for 4 from 3, even Jokic was 1 for 4 from 3, the two greens, Jermichael and Jeff, came off the bench and would have combined 0 for 6 from 3. This is a team that just did not want to attack the basket last night. They just took it a little bit casually. I don't know if they were thinking more about the Utah game that they have tonight, but there's certainly echoes in all of it, because Porter Jr. is the one guy that seems to be someone that you can look at all those criticisms and say, well, he's doing that. Well, that too. Well, also that. So it's a concern. This is a player that's immensely talented, but we've seen players in the NBA, certainly Carmelo Anthony was one of them. Carmelo Anthony's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He was a tremendous player for the Denver Nuggets. But it's fair to say that during much of his tenure, Carmelo Anthony was definitely into winning basketball games. He was also definitely into winning them his way. Michael Porter Jr. doesn't quite have the cachet of a Carmelo Anthony yet. He hasn't done all that much yet, but at least the early signs are he's been that kind of player, and that's a concern on a team where you have the MVP already, and he's maybe the least selfish player in the entire league.
Well, busy night tonight as you've got both the Avalanche playing and the Nuggets playing. Of course, tune in tonight for Sean and Sandy and all the post-game talk. Sean, thank you.
Anytime, guys.
All right, Sean Drotar with the Nuggets post-game show. Hear that again tonight. Avalanche taking on Vegas. I'll be at that game tonight. Looking forward to watching that.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Check out a little puck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You seem very impressed.
Can't wait to get your assessment.
I will have that tomorrow morning. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.